Meditation 2. Blossoming Within Belovedness. In the depths of this encounter with the loving God, with the God who thirsts for me, I discover my authentic identity. Beforehand, I looked here and there for meaning, for a sense of security, either giving my heart away only to find myself used, abused, disappointed, or at least dissatisfied, or locking it up tight in a box of isolation and fear. But now I know who I am. I am a beloved child of God. Yes, this is the truth. I am beloved. I felt deep down that I could not give myself identity, but had to either attain it through achievement or receive it from another. But achievement falls far short of the depth to which my heart aspires, not only because I find myself faltering and weak, but because whatever I achieve comes from myself and remains my own, marked by my own frailty and limitation. It does not give me myself, but only expresses the particular self that I am. It does not answer the question, who am I? Where do I come from? Why am I here? Now, through this encounter with the thirst of God in Christ, I see that my identity does indeed come to me as a gift from another. It comes not as something I have earned or achieved, but as the overflowing of his own loving heart. I am a gift flowing unceasingly from the heart of God, from the intimate embrace of the Father and the Son in their one spirit. This embrace of the Trinity is so rich, so full, so abundant, that it overflows in the creation of the world. And yes, in the creation of the unique reflection of divine beauty that I am. And now the amazing thing is that the divine furnace thirsts to reunite itself to the tiny spark of eternal fire that I am. Further, I myself thirst to return to this furnace, to immerse myself into the flames of divine love which consume without destroying and burn without pain, but rather consummate the union in the joy of intimacy. Looking beyond the surface of my life, I find the burning flames of love present there in the depths, the presence of the God who loves me and sustains me unceasingly. In the depths of my heart, where I am alone and defenseless, where no one else can penetrate but me alone, God is present, unceasingly looking upon me, unceasingly loving me, unceasingly holding me in his mysterious embrace. But as I make contact with this loving presence, I realize that it is not so much he who dwells in me as I who dwell in him. I find myself enfolded in this encircling embrace, sheltered within his protective presence. Yes, it is something like the fish of the sea living in the water. It is their habitat, the whole context of their life, without which they cannot live. The water enfolds them on every side. It shelters and protects and nourishes them, adjusting itself gently to their every movement, molding itself around their unique contours. So my life is enveloped in the ever-present love of God, enfolded in his tender presence. Ah, yes, it is like a little child in the womb of its mother. This place in the body of each woman, God, you have fashioned to be a sign of your love and your care for each one of us. Throughout my life, I am carried in the womb of your love, just as an infant is carried in the womb of its mother. But your love is even more, for nothing can separate me from your love, even when the image of motherhood does not live up to its calling. Even should a mother forget her child, you, my God, will not forget me. I am wrapped tightly, without ceasing, within your love. And it is in this love, in this love alone, that I know the truth of who I am. I am who I am, not according to my narrow and fear-filled perspective, nor according to the external ideas and prejudices of others, but only in the truth of what you, loving God, see in me. If I yearn to come to peace with myself, then I hear you inviting me to courageously enter into the depths of my heart, to draw near to you in prayer and vulnerability, and to open myself to be gazed upon by you. How difficult it is to let oneself be looked upon by another. So often my reaction is to turn away, to cover myself over. But this is because I have so often been looked upon by eyes that do not truly understand or even seek to use, to abuse, to possess, and then to discard. But your gaze, my God, your gaze begins to teach me that I am safe, utterly safe to be naked and defenseless before you. Indeed, this nakedness is safer than anything else, for I find myself clothed and sheltered in the garment of your love. As I enter into this inner place of vulnerability, where I lay open before you those places in myself of which I am ashamed, of which I am afraid, of which I am unsure and confused, I experience you pouring forth your love into them. And this is a love that gently touches, that consoles, that heals, that transforms, that liberates. Indeed, I realize that in the depth of all the woundedness that I lay open before you, you are loving something deeper than all wounds. My wounds only become places of access for you, places of encounter with my inmost heart, with the truth of who I am, deeper than all of these things. You draw near to me in this place, your vulnerability encountering and awakening my own. Your sheltering love gives me courage to open myself, to share myself, and to welcome you into those places in me that before have been locked up in fear and isolation. Those places of shame, but also perhaps those deep desires of my heart which I have been afraid to truly accept and make my own. There is a beautiful image which can illustrate the truth of what occurs in this place. We see it again and again when we look upon the Eucharistic host. This is the means, dear Jesus, by which you chose to give yourself to us again and again each day, intimately, physically. Your vulnerability touches us in our vulnerability. And what is the shape of the host? That bread which, through the words of consecration, becomes your very body. It is a circle that enfolds in itself a cross. It is a cross cradled within an all-enveloping circle. This is an image of our life, my God. This is an image of the all-encircling love that alone gives meaning to all things, and outside of which nothing occurs. Yes, I am contained right here in the center of this circle, cradled at every moment in the embrace of your tenderness and love. But am I closed in upon myself, unable to recognize this love that enfolds me? Or do I allow myself to be opened in the form of a cross, in the openness of acceptance and mutual surrender, and in this way to commune with the circle of your love and your tender presence that envelops me on every side? Before encountering you, my God, I was closed in upon myself, trapped in the narrow circle of my own sin and fear. I yearned to break out, to establish contact with something greater than I am, with another whom I could trust and love. But I found obstacles to this, not only externally, but from within the depths of my own being. For in me I bear marks of possessiveness, of pride, of pleasure-seeking, and wounds of fear, shame, and insecurity, all of which hinder me from turning out in true vulnerability and love, from opening myself to accept love and to give it. Nonetheless, Christ has made known to me that this narrow circle of my fallen self is enveloped by another circle, intimately close and yet infinite in its expanse. This is the circle of your love, my God, and your abiding presence. It is the circle of your ever-present gift, the gift of yourself, the gift of my own being and my life, the gift of every moment and everything flowing from your own loving heart. Yes, now I find myself at the very center of this great circle of love, and realize that my narrow circle is but a point intersected by love's perfect gift. And now, in this encounter between myself and you, between my narrowness and your expansiveness, dear God, I feel a profound invitation, and not only an invitation, but a blossoming desire and ability to love, to surrender. Beforehand, I feared to open myself, to share, because I could not trust that my openness would be reciprocated, that my vulnerability would be cherished, that my gift would be received. Yet now, as I am enshrouded wholly in your love, I find myself beginning to let go of myself, to let down my offenses, and to welcome the gift that unceasingly comes to me. Yes, in opening myself to welcome this pure and gratuitous gift, my heart also spontaneously blossoms in reciprocal love and trusting surrender. Through this encounter, the narrow circle of my isolation is burst open, and I find myself in communion with the enveloping circle of the Trinity, resting in the peace and joy of your abiding embrace, dear God. I begin to glimpse anew that my life is a pure gift, a gift that lives at every moment on the law of gratuity. That is, on the law of the free and uncalculating gift that bestows upon me all things, bursting forth from the floodgates of the divine generosity. Yes, and in response, what is awakened? A sense of obligation? Of inferiority? Of burdensome debt? No, that is not it. It rather awakens in me what I have so long forgotten, the relaxation and playfulness of a child. For a child can play, can receive each moment in its unique meaning and beauty, enjoying it because the child knows that he or she is completely and unreservedly loved. The child feels sheltered by the love that has given her life, that has accompanied her from the earliest days. This is true from the time she was nestled in the womb of her mother, from the time she nursed at her breast, from the time she gazed into those loving eyes and experienced, "You are beautiful, my child, and I love you." Yes, this is the wisdom of the child, that she knows herself to be enveloped in the all-embracing circle of love. And in this love, her whole life unfolds. Her whole life finds meaning. Her whole life blossoms in the joy of playfulness and in the repose of intimacy and trust. And how blessed it is whenever her parents teach this child to give a name to this sheltering and all-enveloping love, the name of God. However, whenever abuse or trauma or fear enters in, the child begins to doubt the security that this love gives to her. In the face of the failure or infidelity of her parents, in the face of the tragedies of life, this sense of security, of being sheltered in her vulnerability, begins to give way to fear and the need to protect, to control, to hide. But in addition, the child's wisdom comes into conflict with another reality that is not merely external, but which she bears in her own nature, the result of original sin. She finds in herself the tendency not to receive the gift, but to possess it wrongly. Not to freely receive things in the freedom of playfulness, but to grasp them for the pleasure they afford. Not to open herself to others in trust and generous response to their value, but to use them, to manipulate them. At this point, the wisdom and grace of childhood stands before the invitation to authentic maturity. Here, the genius of childhood is called to blossom into the genius of maturity, losing nothing of its pristine freshness, but expanding more and more into the openness of authentic and trusting love, into the fullness of acceptance of others and the gift of oneself. But what gives the strength, the guidance, and the security for such a movement? As she grows older, the young woman's parents no longer represent absolute love for her, and she must look deeper, further, to discover this absolute love for which she still thirsts, which she still needs. Ah, Heavenly Father, but your face is so fractured in this world, not because you are not present, but because we have forgotten how to see you. Who can help us to pass from the image of enveloping love to its reality? To pass from the fear that would isolate us into the expansiveness of trusting surrender? Who can reconnect us with the circle of love that we felt so keenly at the beginning of life? Here is where Jesus comes to us, the Son from the Father, and draws near to us in our loneliness, our fear, and our innate longing for love and the security it affords. He comes as a little child, vulnerable and dependent, who himself grows in the womb of his mother, who nurses at her breast, who gazes into her eyes. He plays as a little one, rejoicing in the beauty of life. He grows and matures, and this awareness of the enveloping gift of existence does not give way. Rather, it only blossoms as his mind and heart develop into manhood. Jesus becomes a man without ever ceasing to be a child. And the love he sees reflected in the face of Mary immediately reveals to him the love of his heavenly Father. Yes, the circle of Mary's love immediately draws the heart of Jesus to the circle of the Trinity from which he has come, and which, indeed, he has never left. Now he dwells as a man, in the heart of our own existence, yet remaining within the encircling mystery of the Trinity's life of love, an unceasing intimacy with the Father in the Spirit who binds them together. Yes, he receives each moment from the hands of his Father in the gratitude and playfulness of a little child. Even all of his mature responsibility, even the whole of his mission, unfolds only within this all-encompassing playfulness of love, within this repose of intimate embrace. And within this circle of love, and on its strength, Jesus descends even further. He pursues us into the depths of our isolation and fear, into the loneliness and suffering that our sins and the sins of others cause. He becomes present in the anguished heart of the young woman who is abused by her father. He becomes present in the heart of the man who sits alone in the darkness, his heart aching with emptiness after another sexual escapade. He becomes present in the heart of the man who sits in prison, awaiting execution. He becomes present in the heart of the poor woman who is forgotten by her family and her society, and finds her life draining away through hunger and illness. He becomes present in the heart of each one of us, in the unique story of every life. Yes, in the depths of his passion and death, he descends into the place of darkness that each of us bears within us. He comes close, lovingly close, and gently touches our anguished and fear-filled hearts. I am here, and I love you. I feel what you feel. I cry out with your own pain, which I have taken into myself. But I want to hold you now, beloved, and to take you to myself. I understand your wounds, and I am present in them, but I want to take you, to hide you in my own wounds. Here, in the most mysterious way, the circle of love has hidden itself within the narrow circle of sin and fear. But in doing so, it has burst it open from the inside. It has reopened it to the expansiveness of love, to the enveloping embrace of God. And it has done so through the cross, which intersects at a point in the depths of my own unique heart, and penetrating the core of my being, opens me to reach out lovingly and trustingly to God. And in reaching out, I make contact with the circle of God's embrace, receiving anew the gift of his tenderness and surrendering to him in return. All of my efforts, all of my struggles, were not enough to liberate me. But now God, who has always been present, has made himself even more present to me, in order to reopen me anew to receive the gift of his love. He has revealed to me again the strength of his love, his abiding presence from which nothing can separate me. Jesus shows me this, for he has joined me in the darkest place. He has cried out in my name, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet in the midst of this, he has shown me the light that is undimmed by any darkness, shining brightly in its midst. He has shown me the intimate bond of love uniting the Father and the Son, a bond that even this anguish cannot weaken or tear asunder. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Jesus says as he enters into the darkness to be with us there. And what this means is that the Father is with me too. Yes, for he also says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Indeed, the Father himself loves you. Therefore, even when I feel isolated and alone, I am not alone, but enveloped in the embrace of God and the loving presence of the Father and the Son. I need only throw open the doors of my heart again to welcome love that comes to me anew. I am immersed in this love like a fish in the water, like a child in the womb, and I need not fear opening my darkness to this light, opening my heart to the one who loves me beyond my wildest imaginings. He comes to me in the tenderness of his heart, which has become vulnerable, naked, and needy for my sake, to the point of thirsting for me, to the point of being wounded in order to welcome me in the heart of my own woundedness. But ah, your wounds now shine with a radiant and glorious light, and as I open myself to touch these wounds and to let you touch me and mine, I find myself reborn at every moment in the truth of your love, in the identity which has always been mine, even when covered over by darkness and fear. You are my beloved, and I hold you unceasingly within my embrace.